1, Revelation chapter 1. You'll find in most Bibles at the top it reads the Revelation of St. John the Divine. It's not really the Revelation of St. John the Divine, it's the Revelation of Jesus Christ. If you know chapter 1, verse 1, and that's the title of our sermon this evening, the Revelation of Jesus Christ. The word revelation means unveiling. It is the unveiling of future events with Jesus Christ being central to what will take place in the coming days. Let's read verse number 1 and then we'll pray. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 1, it reads, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would now teach us from your holy word. Lord, we are mindful that your return is imminent. And Lord, I pray that you might find us watching and waiting and serving you until that blessed day. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Here in verse number 1, the Bible affirms that the book of Revelation is the unveiling of events to take place in the future, with Jesus Christ being at the very center. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. That means that he is central to this book. He is central to what God will do from here on, from his return to catch away the saints, and the unveiling of the events recorded here within the book of Revelation. And here in verse number 2, John affirms that this book is the Word of God. The Apostle John is honoured with being the one whom God reveals this future revelation. And John the Apostle affirms that this book, the book of Revelation, is the Word of God. And also it gives testimony of Jesus Christ. And John affirms, "I'm recording for you all that I have seen." Note then verse number 2, "who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw." And then in verse number 3, note the promise that is given, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy." That's in reference to the book of Revelation. Blessed are those that read, blessed are those that listen to the words of this prophecy. And then it goes on to say, "and keep." The word "keep" here is in reference to believe, to honour, to say amen to the words of this prophecy, to affirm that we believe the words of this prophecy. "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." And that little phrase there, "for the time is at hand," is in reference to the return of Jesus Christ. Because the return of Jesus Christ is imminent. The word "imminent" means at any moment. There is nothing that needs to take place on the world stage of events that is holding back the return of Jesus Christ. And John the Apostle said, even within his day, the time is at hand. Boy, it's closer now. Because some 2,000, just under 2,000 years have passed and the time is at hand. Where there'll be a culmination of time as we know it an ending of time as we know it, and this will be replaced with the eternal realm. Now, the time is at hand is in reference to the return of Jesus Christ. And my friend, this evening, the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is coming again. He will come imminently. He will come personally. He will come visibly. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, the Bible teaches us that for we that are alive, we shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with Him. Oh, Pastor, are you trying to scare me? No, I'm just trying to teach you the Bible. This is what the Bible teaches. Jesus Christ is coming again, and He will take the living saints from the earth. Now, you think it's a scary thought to meditate upon that Malaysian airline that disappeared with some 229 people to this day. Nobody knows where it is. Well, my friend, there is coming a day in which all of those that are in Jesus Christ, all of those that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior, they will be taken from the earth. And there will be a mass exodus, and that will cause some confusion, to say the least. And with that event will begin the beginning of the end. And God will introduce a period of judgment known as the tribulation period, 7 years of judgment, where God will pour out His wrath upon unbelieving Israel and the unbelieving world that rejects Jesus Christ. And then there'll be a 1,000-year reign with Christ, and then the eternal realm will begin, and glory be to God for that. And my point is simply this, when John the Apostle said, the time is at hand, he said, now, Jesus Christ is coming again, and when He comes, it's all going to happen very, very quickly, and we're going to move into the eternal realm. And let me ask you this evening, are you ready for the return of Jesus Christ? Now, for those of us that are Christians, we do not look for signs, so to speak. Though the signs are everywhere, the world is not getting any better. The world is getting more confused, and there's more tragedy and heartache and pain. But we as Bible-believing Christians do not look for signs. We look for the Savior. We look for the coming of Jesus Christ. He's coming again. And therefore, here in chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, John witnesses the glory of Jesus Christ first and foremost. And chapter 1 is devoted to Jesus Christ. He is at the very center of future prophecy. Now, the book of Revelation is divided up into three parts. And it's noted there in verse number 19, where John the Apostle said, write the things which thou hast seen. This is in reference to what he sees of Jesus Christ. The things which are, chapters 2 and 3, the condition of the churches, and the things that shall be hereafter, once the church is taken from the earth, once Christians are taken from the earth, what will take place from then on? Well, it's outlined for us from chapter 4 onwards of the book of Revelation. And we'll be studying those chapters, Lord willing, in the weeks to come. But for the sake of time this evening, we'd like to just focus here in chapter 1 of Revelation. And note what John the Apostle witnesses in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And John begins this book by spelling out in verse number 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is at the heart of prophecy. He is at the heart of future prophecy. He was at the heart of prophecy fulfilled, and He is at the heart of future prophecy yet to be fulfilled. So rightfully, chapter 1 is devoted to Jesus Christ. And John sees Jesus Christ in all of His glory. So let's take a few moments this evening and note what John the Apostle is privileged to see in the person and work of Jesus Christ, the one that is coming again, the one that will usher in the time of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation period, the one that will come back to the earth with his saints to reign upon the earth for 1,000 years. The Creator, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. John focuses upon his Lord and his Saviour. Though he's exiled there on the island of Patmos, God honours him with a little bit of insight concerning what will take place in the future. And we have it recorded for us here in the book of Revelation. And John affirms, I bear record of the word of God in verse 2, of the testimony of Jesus Christ. All things that I've seen, I've recorded for you, and it centers in the person of Jesus Christ. Note then verse number 5, first and foremost this evening, concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ. How is Jesus Christ described within this chapter? The star, the center, the Lord of prophecy yet to be fulfilled. Verse number 5 said, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. So first of all, I'd like for us to note this evening concerning the glory of Jesus Christ. John reminds us here under divine inspiration that Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. He is truth. He is without error. He is the faithful witness. When the Lord Jesus ministered on planet Earth, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father except by me. Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. He is truth. And my friend, there is error all around us, and you might be asking the question, what is truth? Jesus Christ is truth. And his words are recorded within the pages of Scripture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is truth. He is without error. And I'm so thankful for that as a child of God. I serve the true God, the true and living God. Note then verse number 5, it also goes on to read, and the first begotten of the dead. Jesus Christ is not only truth, he is without error, but John foresees Jesus Christ as our risen Lord. The first begotten of the dead is in reference to his resurrection. That Jesus Christ not only died for our sins, Jesus Christ was buried, and on day number 3, he bodily and visibly and personally arose from the dead. And because Christ arose, there will come a day in which we will arise in Jesus Christ. See, when Jesus Christ does return, God will honour those departed saints by raising their dead bodies and giving them glorified bodies first and foremost. Then we which are alive and remain, we will be called up to meet the Lord in the air. Now I've made my requests to the Lord. I'd like to be amongst those. I don't know about you. I'd rather be alive at his coming and just to be snatched away. That's going to be wonderful. And Jesus Christ is the first begotten of the dead. He is the risen Lord. He is a living Lord. And when a person receives Jesus Christ, he receives a God who is not dead, but a Saviour who is alive forevermore. He's alive. He lives within the life of those that have received him as Saviour. And he changes those lives. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. How is that possible? Let me tell you how it's possible. Because we serve a risen Saviour, a living Saviour. And he gives evidence of the fact that he is alive by living within the life of the born-again child of God and changes their life. This is New Testament Christianity. This is not Reformation. This is what the Bible calls conversion.
He is the first begotten from the dead. He is a living Saviour. He is the truth. He is a living Saviour. Oh, he's also the Prince of the kings of the earth. Look at verse number 5, and the Prince of the kings of the earth. He is Lord. He is master of all. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Why call ye me Lord, Jesus said, and do not the things that I say? If Jesus Christ is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. Well said. Well said. And the Bible teaches us in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. John the Apostle sees Jesus Christ as the truth. He sees Jesus Christ as the living God, the first begotten from the dead, but he also sees Jesus Christ as Lord and Master of all. He is Prince of the kings of the earth. He is the Prince of Peace. He is Lord of all. And as we move on in verse number 5, what else does the Bible read and teach concerning the person of Jesus Christ? Well, he is not only the Prince of the kings of the earth, but unto him that loved us. That's wonderful. A God that is true, God that is alive, a God that is Lord, and a God that loves us. And he proved that love for us, note then verse 5, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Very, very clear, very specific. We are sinful, we are in need of cleansing, and God the Son has washed us by faith from our sins in his blood. So when Jesus Christ died on the cross, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His blood was shed, his blood was sacrificed. What for? Not for his own sin, for your sin, for my sin, that we might have the forgiveness of God and have the hope of eternal life. What a wonderful God we serve. He's a loving God. Do you love God? Oh, we say we love God, but we live like the devil. Day in and day out. You really love God who loves you and shed his blood that you might have the forgiveness of sin. So John the Apostle sees a loving Saviour. Note then verse number 6. Note there is a little comma there at the end of verse number 5. I think I can see it with these new glasses. Is that right? Is that a comma? Oh, it's meant to be anyway. And because of God's love, he not only provides forgiveness, but note in verse number 6, he hath made us kings, kings and priests unto God and to his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So God so loves us that he not only offers us forgiveness, but he also makes us kings. That is, we will reign with him. During that 1,000-year reign, recorded in Revelation chapter 20, we will return with Christ and we will reign as kings. We will be part of the monarchy. No need to be envious of the monarchy any longer, wishing, oh, I wish I was part of that family. Don't worry about it. Because one day you in Christ Jesus will be a king and you will be a priest. And you will reign 1,000 years with Christ as kings and as priests with Jesus Christ. That's how much God loves us. We're going to reign with Christ. The word priest is in reference to our access into the very presence of God. God loves us in that He provides forgiveness, and one day we will reign with Him over the earth for 1,000 years. But also we are priests. We have direct access with God. We have direct access into the presence of God. We can commune with God 24/7. We are priests. I'm a priest in Jesus Christ. And so are you. You don't need to wear a white dog collar. They're not real priests. They're facades. According to the Bible, they're fakes. A real priest is a person that has a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we have access into the very presence of God. That's how much God loves you. I wonder, do we take advantage of that? How was your quiet time this morning? Did you spend time in the presence of the Lord? The one that loves you. Shed His blood for you. Elevates you. He's going to elevate you as a king. Did you spend some time with Him this morning? Well, verse number 7 goes on to read, "Behold, He cometh with clouds." Note, every eye shall see Him. And they also which pierced Him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so. Amen. Verse 7 is in reference to the return of Christ in judgment. And when you compare Scripture with Scripture, you'll find as those that will go through the tribulation period, they will certainly realize that it's God from above that is pouring His judgment upon the earth. So putting one with one together, we would conclude that verse 7 is in reference to the return of Christ at the end of the tribulation period, where there'll be a great battle known as the Battle of Armageddon, and people will know, this is the one. This is the one that we have rejected. This is the one that is pouring out His judgments upon us. But my friend, this evening, you don't need to have that experience. If you will receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can meet Him as your lovely Savior. He offers you forgiveness. He wants to take you from this sin-cursed earth, and He wants to take you into His presence, and lead you and love you and honor you as a child of God. Well, verse number 8 goes on to read, "I am Alpha." Omega. "The beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty." Look at verse number 11, saying, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia." The Alpha and Omega here is in reference to our Lord being eternal. Jesus Christ not only loves us and is true and is the living God, He is our Lord, but He is our eternal God. And because Jesus Christ is eternal, He offers eternal life to all. He is the first and the last. Alpha, the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega, the last letter of the Greek alphabet. He is the eternal one. And Jesus said, "I come and offer you eternal life. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life." He is eternal. He is immutable. Fancy big word, which simply means He is unchangeable. We are changeable, are we not? The world is changeable, but our God is unchangeable. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Almighty, eternal God. Note there at the end of verse number 8, the Almighty. He is all-powerful. What a wonderful God we serve. This is Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ, our eternal, almighty God.
And then in verse number 13, please, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ here is referred to as the Son of Man. And this title is in reference to the fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. The title Son of Man is in reference to God, 100% God, becoming 100% man and remaining 100% God and giving us a life pattern, teaching us how to live. And therefore the Apostle Paul could say, follow me as I follow Christ. We know how to live the Christ life by following the words of Jesus Christ. And following His literal example there in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And also note then verse number 13 that John sees the Lord Jesus clothed with a garment down to His feet. And this is in reference to His ministry of intercession. Our Lord Jesus intercedes for us, just as the Jewish high priest would enter into the holies of holies once a year and offer a sacrifice for the sins of His people. So likewise, Jesus Christ is our great high priest. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and He intercedes for us. He prays for us as our great high priest. And gird about His paps with a golden girdle. So this is in reference to the ministry of intercession. Jesus Christ intercedes on the behalf of His people. And then in verse number 14, it goes on to read, His head and His hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. John notes the purity, the holiness of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the truth. Jesus Christ, the living Lord. Jesus Christ, who loves us. Jesus Christ, who intercedes for us. He is holy. And therefore we are called upon to live holy lives. We are to be holy in mind, in will, in emotion. We are to keep our bodies holy. We are to keep our spirits holy. We are to be a holy people. Because Jesus Christ is holy. And note there at the end of verse number 14, His eyes were as. Now whenever you see words like as or like, put your antennas up. It's there to describe, give a description, to illustrate for us. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And this is referring to the fact that Jesus Christ reveals all as so by fire. There is nothing hid from the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible talks about judgment to come being via fire. Fire has a way of purifying, and it speaks here of Jesus Christ as being the great revealer, the all-knowing God, and nothing will be hid from His presence. And the Bible teaches us in Proverbs 5:21, there is nothing hid from the eyes of the Lord. He sees everything. So John the Apostle sees a wonderful Savior that sees everything. He sees everything. There's nothing hid from His presence. Quickly go back to 1 John chapter 2, please. Are you still with me? This is our Savior, our coming Savior. Note there in 1 John chapter 2, please, verse 28. And now, little children, John writes, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. The Lord Jesus has eyes as a flame of fire. The Lord Jesus sees all. There is nothing hid for
from his presence. And also in verse number 15, the Bible affirms that he is the God of judgment. Note then verse 15, please, of John 1, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. He is the God of judgment. We shall all stand before Jesus Christ, either as our judge or as our Lord. And God's word teaches judgment day is coming. My friend, you can live as you please today, but one day you'll stand before God and give an account of your life. I'll stand before God and give an account of my life. And everything will be revealed by fire, the Bible teaches us. John sees the Savior as not only a God that sees all, but a God that will judge. And note there, in verse number 15, it also reads, and his voice as the sound of many waters. As the sound of many waters. This speaks of his authority, the authority of Jesus Christ. His words are words of authority. And I wonder this evening, do we take heed to his words of authority? When God speaks, do we gladly submit to his word? Verse number 16 goes on to say, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. Two-edged sword, reference to sharpness. The power of God's word. The word of God is sharp, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The words of Christ are sharp. They're powerful. They can do a work in the hearts of people. And last but not least, verse number 16, it reads, his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. As John concludes his description of Jesus Christ, he said, Jesus Christ is full of glory. He is like the sun shining it in its full strength. Now you can imagine being in the bright sun in full strength, you just want to get out of the way. And John said, I see the Son of God as the sun in his full strength, full of glory. Jesus Christ is full of glory. He is our glorified Lord. And our glorified Lord calls for you and I as his people to glorify him in our bodies and in our spirits which belong to him. And in conclusion, when John took note of all this, he was overwhelmed, and rightfully so. You'd be overwhelmed. We ought to be overwhelmed if we were to stand back and consider the glory of Jesus Christ. Note verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He fainted. John fainted as a dead man. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. John was so overwhelmed by what he saw and the person and work of Jesus Christ, it so scared him that he literally fainted and dropped as a dead man. And Jesus Christ lifted him up and said, fear not. Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. My friend, this evening, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Are you ready for the return of Christ? He could come back tonight. And let me warn you, if he does, you find that all of these people are missing, that affirms the Bible's true. It affirms the Bible's true. Jesus Christ is coming again. And He's going to take believers from this earth. And for those of us that are in Christ, we have that hope. And we need to be diligent to go into the highways and byways and stop playing games with God. Some of you Christians here tonight, you are playing games with God. You're not taking your Christian life seriously. You're not obeying the Bible as you ought to obey the Bible. You call Him Lord, but you're not doing what He calls you to do. Let's stop playing games with God. The Bible's true. Jesus Christ is Lord, and one day He's coming again. And the book of Revelation unveils the judgments to come for those without Christ. And you and I have a responsibility to tell others. Because we know the glorified Lord. We know the truth. We know the living one. We know the one that loves us. The one that intercedes for us. We know the one that knows all. We know the one that is authority. We know Him. We know Him as our Savior. Let's share Him with others. Because Jesus Christ is coming again. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Future prophecy centers in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So rightfully, John spends this whole first section devoted to describing our Saviour, that we might love Him more so and serve Him more so as well. Let's bow for prayer.